Hello, and welcome to Transient Wool Merchants. We're your hosts, Amy and
Heather.
And this week we've got lots to talk about. We've been back out on the road and doing all sorts of stash enhancements and knitting and knitting and knitting and
crocheting.
And crocheting. Yes, some brave people are crocheting. That would not be me.
Crochet about as much as I like to go to the dentist, but it's one of those things that just comes up occasionally, and you kind of have to do what has to be done.
Alrighty. Well, where have you been this week?
On Friday and Saturday, I went to Roanoke, Virginia. I've been invited to do a trunk show at Mosaic Yarn Shop. The owner is Gina, who is Skein Cocaine on Instagram. She's pretty popular on there, and it's a really, really nice shop. They have a lot of indie-dyed yarns there. Very small quantities. You're not going to find a sweater lot just on hand from the few times I've been to that shop. But they have really nice stuff, a lot of higher-end products. So my good friend Kathy went up with me on Friday, and oh, we got to talk about where we ate, as I interrupt myself there.
Yeah, your Instagram photos. I was like, you kept sending me pictures of food while I was like trapped.
Yeah, well, that's how that goes. Anyway, back in order, I went and did a trunk show at Mosaic Yarn Shop, and it went really, really well. Everyone there was super nice, had a good turnout, good sales. Definitely someplace I would like to return to in the future. The weather cooperated beautifully. We've been having fairly nice weekends here, and last weekend the high on Saturday was 45, and it was sunny. Perfect, like a perfect last hurrah for winter knitting, so people felt like buying wool and they weren't out doing yard work and that kind of thing, so it was nice. It was a long day on Saturday, though, because, you know, you don't sleep the night before, and then you wake up early, or at least I do, because I'm just kind of like that. And Kathy is a morning person, so we went to breakfast at, let me pull my notes up here, our Daily Bread, which is not too far from the yarn shop, and it's kind of a, it reminded me of like a little kind of hipster bakery deli type place. It was very, I don't know, when I say frou-frou food, it had a lot of fresh ingredients, and everything was made when you ordered it. Good food, but I had the poached eggs with smoked salmon and a croissant. It was fabulous, let me tell you. And in fact, husband number two, which would be Scooter Pie the Shepherd guy, you must have showed him the picture, because then he texted me and was like, oh, I hope you enjoyed your breakfast. So.
Well, that was one of the places that Danny had recommended that you go when you were in Roanoke, because, you know, Roanoke's where she's from and until, you know, recently.
Right.
But, yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, Friday night we went to a place called 419 West, which was a little bit more of an upscale dinner-type restaurant. These are both in Cave Spring. Caves Spring, I think, is the name of the town. It says Roanoke, but it's actually a little suburb. But I had this fabulous fried chicken breast, which was butterfly. You could have fed like four people off of it, with shrimp and roasted potatoes. But it had a hazelnut cream sauce. So they fried the chicken and then had this like crunchy hazelnut sweet cream sauce over the top. It was incredible. Not what you would usually think of as gravy over fried chicken, but really, really good. And really rich. So it was a great weekend. The drive back was long, just because I'd been up for about 12 hours at the point we headed back, and it's a 3.5-hour drive. But, you know, well, I'd go again, and I can't complain. Now, where were you last weekend?
Wow, last weekend I was... Wait, this weekend or last weekend?
Well, this weekend hasn't arrived yet because it's Wednesday, so no, I think that's last weekend.
I can't remember if we recorded since I was in D.C. or not.
No, I don't think so. I think the last thing we recorded was you were at Williamsburg.
Yeah, well, we did Homespun Yarn Party for the first time.
That's right, yeah.
And that was... Oh my God. I have never crammed so much into a 6-foot cube in my life. Our booth was only 6x6 because it's a very small show. And you know my big setup. For us to make it into 6x6, it was the little foldy cubey things, the fabric cubes that go inside like cubbies.
Right.
And we had them all latched together, and we thought that we could get them 4 high with binder clips. And we were about 20 minutes from the start of the show, and the top just started to go over. And, you know, I'm having flashbacks to our first Pittsburgh show where our entire display imploded overnight.
And that was me at Shenandoah at my first show. So, yeah, that's a pretty typical experience.
So we ended up... putting 2 rows of the cubbies in front and then stacking our plastic tubs 2 high with a tablecloth over them and putting the other two rows of cubbies on top of that. So it was the same, basically 4 cubes, you know, 4 high.
Yeah.
But the top ones were on a riser and solid instead of being on the bottom two. So it worked out really, really well. But, the usual. Trial by fire. And I just spilled my iced tea all over the floor.
I was wondering what you were doing because you got really far away just then.
Well, I was picking up my iced tea that I just kicked over because, you know, that's how I roll. But anyhow, I'm just so excited about Homespun. But it was really, really nice. There were some vendors there that I hadn't seen before. And it was such a quick thing that, like, we didn't really even... I didn't even get to shop. I mean, there was just no time. We literally had, like, less than an hour to set up. And then we vended, like, to a packed house for, I don't even know, 4 or 5 hours. And then we had 45 minutes to be gone.
And that's a fast turnaround.
Yeah. And so I was really, really glad that Scooter Pie and I made the decision to stay another night down there. Because let me just say, when 5:45 came, we just pretty much wanted to get a bite to eat and go to sleep.
The best kind of show, right? The busy ones were you...
Oh, yeah, and we rehomed more yarn than I even want to think about right now. I was absolutely amazed at the volume of people in that room. There were literally, like, for the first few hours, there were lines outside waiting to get in because there were more people, there were only the amount of people in the room as allowed by the fire chief. I mean, it was capacity consistently for several hours. An extremely well-run show. Extremely well-run. I thank them profusely and really hope that we'll be able to go back next year. Because, you know, Joelle and Stephanie, Wondering Wool and Space Cadet, had told me that it was a really, really nice show. And, you know, they're both indie dyers, so I didn't know what to expect, you know, with our stuff, because ours is certainly not anything like their stuff. So I was very, very pleasantly surprised. And, oh my God, we had some really good food. We went to Clyde's of Columbia, which, like, every time we go to D.C., we end up at Clyde's of Georgetown, because it's just a quirky little place that We really enjoy going. And this time it was really, really cute because we were seated in this room that was pretty much like all just large parties. And then we were at like a little two top against the wall.
That's Amy's dogs. Hush.
Oh, apparently Scott's coming in the back door downstairs. I'm like two floors away from them. I didn't think we could hear them. But anyways, no lambs this time, just dogs. So, anywho, we're sitting in this room that was very much like a library. And we're at like the end of this like table of 10 who are celebrating their Bubby's birthday. And there's only enough room between that table and our table to seriously like slip your human body through to get behind, you know, where we are. So I really felt like we were sort of uninvited guests at Bubby's birthday.
Oh yeah, I remember that. You texted me through the entire meal telling me all the juicy tidbits that you learned.
Well, first I learned how to make gefilte fish. Which was shocking and, gross. It was the one time in my life I've been truly glad I'm not Jewish. I wouldn't want to eat that. But, of course I don't like fish anyway. So it turned out, we found out like, it's Bubby's birthday. Uncle Stanley was in the Holocaust, and when he left Haifa, he went to someplace in Italy. I just lost it. But anyways, they were passing. I really wanted to see the pictures. I mean, after like 45 minutes of sitting there at Bubby's birthday party, like, I wanted to hear more about Uncle Stanley and his life after the Holocaust. I was just really excited that he made it through, and, you know, I wanted to see the pictures, too. But then Aaron, who's apparently in medical school, started talking about all the things he was dissecting. So dinner took a turn at that point. But, you know, I hope Aaron graduates from medical school and does well for himself, because Bubby's really proud of him. And, oh, the best part was the cute little, Bubby's husband, the cute little grandpa person, who was actually sitting beside me, very, very close. When their granddaughter arrived late, he had to slide out so she could slide in. And when he slid over toward me, he looks at Scooter Pie and he goes, "Don't get too excited. I'm going to slide right back in a minute. I'm not trying to put the moves on her." And Scoot's just looking at me like, okay, Grandpa still got it going on. You know, it was the cutest little thing. And then once his granddaughter sat down, he started to slide back over. He says, "All right, no further threats. Carry on." And I'm just like giggling my butt off because he was just adorable. And, you know, my love of men in their 80s. I just want to sit on their laps and call them daddy. But anywho, so we had a wonderful dinner at Bubby's birthday party. The food was amazing, but the best part was, okay, then Saturday night we ended up going to this chain that I'd apparently never heard of before. I thought it was a fabulous new restaurant, but then when I looked it up, I found out it's actually a chain.
What's the name of it?
It's called Seasons 52. I'd never heard of it before in my life, but it was like,
Schubert.
It was like if, a high-end restaurant and, a farm-to-table restaurant and a chain, like, got together and had a baby. It was far too good to be a chain restaurant, if that makes any sense.
Huh, well, that's cool.
They had a lot of locally sourced ingredients. They had a lot of seasonal specials. it was not Fridays. I was very pleasantly surprised.
And then last weekend, let's move this along, you had Pittsburgh.
Yes. Yes, Pittsburgh Knit and Crochet was this past weekend. And I was a little bit nervous because we moved from the location they'd been at for many, many years, in the suburbs outside of the city, into downtown Pittsburgh, into the West End that's connected to the convention center, which could have been really bad because it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which means anybody who's coming on Friday has to find a place to park in downtown Pittsburgh on a work day and pay for that, which can be $25 or so, plus $15 to get in. That's $40 out of pocket before you've ever seen a skein of yarn. So, you know, a lot of the other vendors and I were a little concerned that, you know, once they'd already laid out, you know, between $30 and $40 just to get to the market, that was really going to cut into
shopping money,
because, you know, it's a finite source. I mean, you can't just make more. So it actually turned out really, really good. It was extremely well attended. We were actually slightly above last year, which made me happy. And next year, they're moving it into the convention center and combining it with their Creative Arts Festival and having 125 vendors. Wow. So, yeah, so it's going to be a lot more attendees. And I'm hoping there'll be a lot of, like, crossover, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody won't be knitters, but they might be knit curious. So, but while we had, you know, everybody was in town and it's like our hometown, so we kind of felt like, you know, like we should sort of host, all of our other vendor friends. So Friday night I ended up taking them to Church Brew Works, which is a converted Catholic church into a brewery. Which at first was a little shocking for some of the Catholics in our group, but, they all loved it. Danny went with us, KSC Designs, and her friend who's from Pittsburgh but had never been there. And then Liz of Apple Tree Knits and Joelle of Wondering Wool and the Fluffy U crew and me and Scooter Pie.
Everybody but me was there. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, we sent you pictures.
And it looked like it was a blast.
And then Saturday night, yeah, we all went to the Grand Concourse, which is the restored train station, like turn-of-the-century train station. And Danny and her friend didn't go with us to that one, but the rest of the crew went. And we had a really good time, and the show turned out to be good, and we met a lot of new people. And, yeah, it was pretty spectacular. So where are you off to next?
Well, actually, shockingly enough, I am home this weekend. Because it's Easter. I don't think there are any shows on Easter weekend. So the next thing up is Carolina Fiber Fest in Sanford, which you're coming as well. And you're staying at my house! I'm so excited!
I know. I know how you feel now when you said, you know, when you were coming up to stay with us for Rhinebeck, that, you know, you just, it could go really, really well or really, really badly. But I'm really excited to come down and stay with you and Big Wayner and Schubert and Gershwin. That should be really cool.
It should, given the fact we're installing flooring and painting this week, yeah. Let's hope I get everything done, yeah.
I have this secret fear that once we get down there, you're actually going to hand us a roller and be like, there's the ceiling, go at it.
You know, the ceiling looks so awful, you'll probably be like, oh, sweetheart, let me help you paint that. Next on our list, my husband gets his quarterly bonus April 15th, and that is high on the priority list. So,
go to Disney.
That will be nice.
Go to Disney.
I would rather honestly have my ceiling repainted than go to Disney, because that is the last step before I can put my house on the market, I think.
Oh, I swear to God, my husband must be dancing in the back door. Either, oh, you know what? I bet the goat is out. They get really, really wound up when the goat is standing in the backyard looking in the door at them. I don't know why.
That sounds kind of creepy, you know?
He's a weird goat. We've had this conversation.
Yeah.
But,
Anyway, so next weekend is Carolina. And that's normally for me a pretty good show. For you, it's an expensive show. Because I drive back and forth like an idiot. It's 100 miles each way. And I'll do that 3 days in a row. So that's a quick 600 miles on the car or the truck.
Well, it's better than camping there at the fairgrounds with questionable water and possible electricity. Remember last year our electric plug melted and the showers were locked, and when we did get in, there was no hot water. So,
and your camper sprung a leak or something. Was that last year?
Oh, yeah. That was our first trip down the driveway with the camper after the winter. And the fill valve on the back of the toilet had frozen and burst over the winter. So my husband got to go experience the Raleigh area camper dealer. I forget his name. He was a nice guy. Got us fixed right up, but that was an expense we hadn't counted on either.
Yeah. I'm hoping everything is good with my camper because we didn't blow the lines out because we didn't know we were going to be camping in December, and then, yeah, it was just kind of one of those things. So we ran the pump and drained everything as much as we could. So it'll be exciting when we pull it out this year to see what happens. Yeah. You know, I'd really just like to trade the puppy in. And Wayne said, okay, let's trade it in.
Oh.
Yeah, except for the fact that if we're buying a house this year, I really don't want to have a bigger camper note, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, everything's just kind of like lit up in the air right now. You know, like dyeing yarn and painting walls. And obviously color is my thing. Let's paint some walls and dye some yarn at the same time.
Well, you know, it could be worse. You could be lambing, too.
No, I'm not lambing. I'm laying floor, though, and putting on baseboards. And are you done with lambing yet?
No. We could actually go until mid-May. Oh. I know they're cute and adorable and sweet and cuddly and all, but at a certain point, you're just like, all right, already with the lambs. They're cute.
We did space things out a lot more this year.
I did. Well, because I wanted to try to be able to focus our energies on the problem children when they were lambing. So, you know, maybe we'd have better luck with them.
Did it help?
I think so, but honestly, we're both so tired that I don't know if it was worth it. Basically, instead of being on 2-hour barn checks for like 34 days, which is our usual, we're on like 2-hour barn checks for like 3.5 months, which is, yeah.
Not worth it. You have a 19-year-old. They're good for things like getting up in the middle of the night repeatedly, so.
Yeah, he did take quite a bit of the night shifts. He's stayed here more nights than I can really count, whether it was doing barn checks or taking care of bottle babies. He's really stepped up and helped out a great deal, you know, this spring. And, oh, I should probably update you. I don't know if I told you or not, but the two bottle babies in the box that he had rescued before the last time we recorded, the little Jacob Lester Cross twins. Shortly after we recorded, I got an email from a woman who had found us on Pittsburgh Knit and Crochet Festival and wondered if we had any lambs available, because she has a small fiber flock, and that's all that her son wanted for his birthday was a pair of lambs, because with them having a fiber flock, they don't lamb. They just have
right.
Weathers and a couple of retired old lady ewes. So he was really missing the lambing experience. And I would say he was 9 or 10. I mean, not a little kid that's going to drag them around by their necks. Well, you know, I'm not going to give my bottle babies to a 4-year-old that, you know, wants to carry them around with him all the time. Right, because that, you know, that ends up with calling him dead. But anyways, they came on the little boy's birthday, and she told him they were just coming to the farm to have an outing, and I think she told him they were like going to gather eggs or feed my lambs or something, just as a little special birthday treat. And then when he got done feeding the babies their bottles, she says, you know, do you really like those? And he's like, oh, they're awesome. They're wonderful. I love them, love them, love them. And she's like, well, good, they're yours. And so they went home with them, and they've got an awesome home, which is, you know, the best I can hope for my fiber critters, you know, especially the Weathers. So that was very exciting, and Drew was really, really happy because his little guys, you know, that he'd put so much time and energy into, got, you know, a really good forever home.
Well, cool.
So.
Mentioning fiber, you had some serious stash enhancement happening.
Well.
Try to keep this to a less than 30-minute segment here, okay?
All right. Well, I have to say that the reason I had the stash enhancement is because you know how often I talk about my best you, my favorite girl, my dear sweet 219.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Saturday night into Sunday morning, she passed away in her sleep.
Aww.
She was curled up in the barn with her lamb, and when Scott went to feed everybody, everybody got up to get their grain except 219. And that's not like her. I mean, she was almost 10. She had a little bit of arthritis, but she was the first one to the feed trough. If she wasn't mugging you for the bucket, she was all about her grain. So when he went over to check on her, he realized that she had passed. So, of course, he told me right away, and then I had to work the booth all day on Sunday. Like, really, really sad. And, you know, our vendor friends were just so kind to me and so understanding that, you know, I was just devastated. Because she's been with us 7 or 8 years. And, you know, she's one of my favorites. She's my best girl. So it was a huge hole in my heart. Matter of fact, my screensaver right now is 219 because, with her lamb. That picture I posted on Instagram when she was curled up with him and so in love. And so I was really sad. And Scott handed me the credit card and said, you know, go feel better.
That's a dangerous thing to do, isn't it?
It was extremely dangerous. Let's see. I swung by Space Cadet and picked up the Keller Way for Pittsburgh Knit and Crochet. And I picked up another one of her Department of Space Exploration, I think it is, which are kind of like her version of a Babette. It's a one-of-a-kind,
yeah. You
know, which was gorgeous. It's like sage green and like lavender, which I loved. And then Apple Tree Knits, who I'd never actually bought from before, but when I was talking with Liz, you know, over those couple of days, she's carrying twins, and she's still vending, okay?
Oh,
yeah. She almost passed out Saturday night at dinner because the babies and the food, she couldn't get any air. It was scary. But anyways, I had time to really look at her booth because, you know, Sunday mornings is pretty slow. And we started vending at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. So I picked up two really gorgeous pretty high silk content gradients, because I know you don't make those. And I'll have to show them to you. One of them is blueberries and cream, which is absolutely gorgeous. And the other one is like antique rose. And it kind of goes from champagne to pink.
Yeah, I think you sent me a picture of that one. It looked pretty.
It's gorgeous. And then I went to the next one and saw Wandering Wool. And Joelle had these two that had high silk content as well. And one was like copper penny and the other one was champagne. And together they were just gorgeous. So I think I'm going to do a two-colored shawl in that one. And then Three Irish Girls was there. And I have never experienced them, but I've heard lots of good things on other podcasts about them. So I popped in and, oh God, they had some gorgeous stuff. So I picked up a gradient and then I picked up a two skein set that was a gradient with a... and there was a place called Twisted Fiber Arts, which one of the girls that works in Space Cadet's booth was telling me how gorgeous the Twisted stuff was. So I popped in there and I found a stunning gradient that went from like teal through olive to burgundy.
Ooh, I like that.
And then into like a deep violet.
Hmm.
Oh my God. I can't wait to see how this knits up. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something gorgeous. So, I picked that up. Can't remember what else there was.
I think that's plenty. I think you succeeded in your goal.
I win. I'm trying
yeah,
to...
Yeah, let's see. I got... Let me think. I did not buy anything at Mosaic.
Well, that was an exercise in restraint.
Actually, you know I'm pretty good. I don't usually buy stuff when I'm vending. I mean, I watch my pennies. You know, I take that back. I did buy Kathy... they had, I want to say they were called Two Toes skeins or something, and it's two skeins of sock yarn that are enough for each sock, like, but they're striped and so they match when you knit them up.
Oh, yeah.
I bought that for her. And it was really pretty. It was like chocolate brown and turquoise. It was nice. I'm trying to think, I bought myself something here. Oh, I bought three skeins of... acrylic yarn from Universal because I've got to make a baby blanket because my cousin announced they're expecting their second child. Congratulations, Landon. And I bought something else that now I can't remember. It was kind of Noro-ish because I want to do another Noro striped scarf. Oh, and my husband today went to... Sin City Knits, he's in Las Vegas this week, and he bought me a really pretty skein of pink, magenta-ish yarn from Tink Yarns, which is based out of Vegas. I follow them on Instagram.
Mm.
So, and he took some of my yarn, and he was so funny. He was packing the other day, and I heard him rummaging around. He's like, should I take the DK or should I take the sock? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I got to take yarn. I got to go try to sell your stuff. So he like strolls up to the yarn shop today and is like, hey, I'm from North Carolina and my wife dyes yarn. Want to see?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they really liked it. They said they're pretty well stocked right now, but to contact them like in August for their fall selection. So that was kind of cool. I would have paid good money to actually see Wayne walk into a yarn shop. He said he was a big hit when he told him that he was learning to knit, which he is. yeah. My husband is like, if you look at him, you think he's the guy that's probably like eating chips and watching football and doing rude guy type things, you know? But he's decided he wants to learn to knit. So we've learned to knit and purl so far. We're getting there. And the random increases have decreased. We're not knitting parallelograms quite so much.
So mine spins and yours knits.
Yeah. Wayne can spin. I mean, he spun on a drop spindle and my wheel, but he was like, eh, I don't think that's for me. Wow. So, but really not too much stash enhancement happening around here. I did dig into my stash, talking about what we're knitting. I finished the festival shawl, which was crochet. And then I thought, well, since I'm kind of on a little bit of a crochet kick, I had bought a Zauber ball last year in the summer, and I knew what pattern I wanted to do it with. It's the window pane shawl, and it, well, it looks like window panes. It's got open squares. And I'd seen a sample of it in Zauber ball, so I bought it and just kind of stuck it back for when I had a chance. And I started working on that a couple of nights ago, and it's really, really nice. I like it. And hopefully it'll go fast. I had the epiphany that I really am a monogamous knitter. I may have a bunch of projects going at one time, but if I'm actually working on something, I'll work on that one thing until it's done. So, I'll work on this one thing, and then I'll pick a different project, I suppose. You're putting a lot of beads on stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm into, actually right now I've made it to the final set of beads that have to go on. I'm knitting the, Laura Nelkin Five for You shawl, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's made with this wild, I don't even know how to explain it. It's a self-striping shawl yarn that the dyer, who's Caterpillar Green Yarns, actually used the gauge and the design of Laura's pattern to make a self-striping that the yarn changes color as you knit the design, which is mind-boggling to me.
Carla had bought some of that and put up the, I don't know, it showed the pictures, whatever, and it blew up and you couldn't buy a skein to save your life. Wayne actually did the calculus for me. Like, I knit a gauge swatch, and then he did the math, so I've got a formula for it. But that's a lot of work. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's crazy gorgeous. And actually, yeah, that's the one that, you know, I posted that I was knitting on at, like, practically the same moment that the Yarn Harlot posted that she was knitting on, the same Five for You shawl. So, anywho, it has this gorgeous beaded scalloped border, and there are three bead rows in this 18 row scallop border. I don't think I'm giving away the secret sauce here, but I am on the third set of beads, which is amazing that I've gotten that far today, because the rows where you have to place all the beads take like hours, because it's like 579 stitches.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bunch of those have beads on them. So that's where I am. But my goal for this year with the M Club is to actually keep up with the knit-alongs and actually complete all of the projects in their allotted time. Because last year I got behind and I never got caught up, and I did end up getting the last project done in the time frame necessary. But of course we were back off the road and I had time to knit on it. But I've this past weekend at Pittsburgh Knit and Crochet, I also managed to turn the heel on the Atlantic Current socks that I've been working on since Disney. And it's the second sock.
No, I understand, because, like, I think I ripped my sock out that I was working on. And by the way, Wayne is now super, super impressed that we can knit and be at Disney at the same time, like, in line. Because now that he's, like, trying to knit, he's like, I don't know how you do that.
Well, I've got 1.5 socks done. So I have great hope that once I get this shawl off the needles, I'll be able to finish up the end of that sock. Then I've got to figure out what I'm knitting next for socks, because I like to have something in my bag that's mindless. I think I'm going to do that Atlantic Current sock again, because it's just a really cool effect. If I don't do that, I think I'll do the Vanilla Bean sock, where you slip the stitches on the change color rows. if well, I do I've stripes.
Where are those? The side swept socks still, like, that I haven't knit on at all in like 2 weeks that are supposed to be a sample.
Oh, like my sand people socks?
I've been laying floor and like painting and dyeing yarn and traveling and cleaning up dog puke. Schubert's been sick. My life is a mess.
Oh, could be worse. Could be sheep placenta.
That's disgusting. I'm not sure if it's more disgusting than what Schubert put me through yesterday. He's got allergies. Have you ever seen a dog allergic to grass? It's awful.
No. All of my kids are allergy-free as best I can tell. Except, well, the Basset Hound has a very delicate constitution.
Schubert's kind of delicate, and he's high-strung, and it's allergy season, so he's kind of a little bit of a mess of a dog. He's always a mess. So, I random thought, I booked our campsite today for our trip to Montana this summer, and after I booked it, it occurred to me that it's actually at an RV park. It's not, like, at a state park or anything. And all I had was just this vision of Schubert and how he acts when we go to...
Oh, God, not with the diesel trucks.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to request that they put us at the back of the property if possible. Because...
Your dog is super brave.
And if you missed the sarcasm in that statement, there it is. Yeah. Not so much. But they do travel with us, which is kind of fun when we go to these shows. Are you bringing your girls this weekend? Next weekend?
I really want to. I really, really want to. I'm not sure that he's going to... My husband's going to be real cool with riding all that way with the girls. But, you know, they're asleep in the back seat. He might even forget they were back there. I could probably just slide them in and be like, oh, look who stowed away when we got to your place. Yeah.
Well, just bring a crate. Yeah. We have a crate, but that's Gershwin's, and I don't think he would share.
Oh, no. And, you know, my two have not been crated very much or often or, well, recently. So, I wouldn't want them in his crate being harassed because it's his crate, and...
You can see my dog standing outside of the crate taunting for, like, 8 hours. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be ugly. Our lives as transient wolves. Yeah, pretty much. To take the dogs or not to take the dogs. Wow. Super.
Yeah, so we have Carolina, and then I do Bedford the weekend after that. Do you have anything that weekend?
After Carolina, we're actually at home for a week. I mean, these are the things that excite me the most. I've still got another 7 days at home. These, like, 10-day stretches in the middle of show season are, like, the most exciting. We got groceries. We got groceries. And we got some stuff out of storage and started checking out, all of the crap around here that needs to be rehomed or some, I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff.
One of those things.
Yeah. But yeah. I need to get my new yarns photographed and in the stash, which is super exciting if you're me.
I know what's in my stash and it just stays in its box. Sock yarn goes in one box, everything else goes in another, and when the box is full, then I really don't buy any more yarn. So, then you've got a weekend at home, and then we go to Powhatan, right?
Yes, we're going to Powhatan. And
and then you do Maryland.
Uh-huh, and Joelle from Wondering Wool is going to be helping us out in the booth.
Yep, I was going, and now I'm not, I don't think.
Oh!
Kathy sold her house rather abruptly.
I didn't tell you the most exciting news.
What's that?
We are going to be, launching Kirsten Kapoor's first self-published book Maryland. Yeah, she's not able to make it down, but we will have her book in our booth at Maryland. It's called Book of Shawls Number 1, I think. But you know how I love, love, love Kirsten's shawls. So it seemed, you know, only fitting that we would have the book in the booth. So I'm really excited about that. And, you know, it's still going to be, we're still down in the lower corral by the dogs and the highway. But hey, we're in.
I'm a little bummed I'm not going this year, but in a way I'm kind of relieved just because life is so crazy. That's a weekend I can stay home. And let's see, the weekend after that is Mother's Day, and you go to Disney then, right?
No. We go to Disney clear at the end. We will actually be home for Mother's Day weekend. That's another...
You're home the week after...
Oh, yeah.
I see. Okay, so you're home the week after Maryland, and then we go to Kentucky.
We go to Kentucky.
A long freaking haul from here.
And from here. But we get to have hot browns and eat at Malone's, so...
I'm taking my camper this year, so that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And Wayne's going, assuming he's not out of town someplace else.
And then after Kentucky, I go to Great Lakes.
And after Kentucky is Memorial Day.
Yeah, Great Lakes is over Memorial Day. Well, actually, it's Saturday, Sunday, and then Memorial Day is Monday.
Gotcha.
So,
And then the weekend after that, I've got a piano recital, day job calls.
I'm at Disney.
And then I go to Seattle. I'm so excited.
I'll be at Disney.
You go to Disney. So you go to Disney like May 30th, like the weekend after Memorial Day.
Yeah, we go. Actually, no, we go right after we get home from Great Lakes, which Great Lakes is like the 23rd or something. Great Lakes is the weekend after Kentucky, and then we go to Disney, like, Wednesday of that week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I do a piano recital, like, the 30th, and then I leave for Seattle on the 4th. I have a rather long... first cousins I haven't met, and that's not a first cousin. I have quite a few first cousins I haven't met. And one of them owns Maid Sewing Studio in Seattle, which is kind of like a... well, it's like a piano studio where you can go and take classes about sewing or rent their machines or use their tables to cut things out. Carissa is my cousin, Carissa Bruner. She's the owner. And I had some plane tickets that needed to be used, and so I'm going to go out and spend a few days with her. Never been out there before. So that's pretty exciting. Then I'm home a weekend. And then I go to Mississippi for a wedding, and then it's the 4th of July, and then I'm home for 2 weekends, and then I leave for Montana, and I come back in September, assuming we haven't sold our house. And then we're into fall show season, so.
Well, I'm home most of the month of June. Well, I'm home the entire month of June because I got to put up hay. Somebody's got to feed these little brats. And then I think the second week of July, we're at SSK in Nashville, which is so exciting because I get to take classes with Susan B. Anderson and Sarah Anderson. And I'm just super excited about that. And then we're home for some more haymaking. And then we go to Michigan in August while you're in Montana. And then we make some more hay.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I just missed the Fiber Festival in Fargo, North Dakota, about one weekend. So that's kind of a bummer. That would be interesting. That's where that really super awesome yarn store is.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder... have dreams about that yarn shop. That is like the best yarn shop I've ever been to. It's worth the trip to North Dakota. I promise.
I wonder if Big Wayner's going to get called out of town for a week while you're in Bozeman this time, and you'll have to sit out there by yourself.
Well, if he did, it obviously would be the first time. I hope not. My husband's dad is having surgery on Monday, so we got to kind of wait and see what happens with that. So, hopefully everyone will stay in one piece, and the house will sell, and then I can determine if I have a place to live or if I'm living in my camper for another 6 months.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a whole lot of chaos that I can't deal with.
So badly. Am I willing to consider living in my 23-foot travel trailer for months on end? That makes me sound kind of insane, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. But hey, you know, I'm not really one to point the insano finger because, you know, I'm running to the barn every 2 hours to check on livestock.
For 3.5 months, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, bottle feeding baby animals in my house. So, yeah, I'm not really one to point the insano finger at other people. But, oh, and in the middle of everything, I don't know if I told you, but in the middle of everything, something hit Lila Grace, our Welsh Corgi, in the head, and I thought she was going to lose her eye.
Ew. You told me about that. It was rather disgusting.
Yeah.
We don't need a full recount of that, but is Lila Grace recovered? Is she back to her babies now?
Lila is back to her babies. It ended up just being, you know, like blunt force trauma and soft tissue and with a lot of antibiotics. In like 4 days, she was back. But those 4 days were absolutely just crushing for a working dog. I thought she was going to lose her mind. When Scooter Pie would go to the barn without her every 2 hours, and she'd have to stay in the house with me, she was just stir crazy. I mean, she was starting to round up the cats. And believe me, my cats do not want to be rounded up. But we didn't want to take her back to the barn because, you know, we didn't want anything to get in her swollen, gross eye. We didn't want to expose her to any kind of, you know,
anything.
We didn't want to risk her getting stomped or kicked or whatever happened. Because, you know, she moves our sheep. She puts them where they need to go. And she encourages them when they need encouragement. And when they have lambs, sometimes they are very aggressive toward her. Which is, you know, sort of funny to watch a sheep, you know, known for being very shy and, you know, sort of skittish, become aggressive toward a dog. So, but it's usually just Scotch Shetlands that are, you know, standing off against the corgi and trying to stomp her in the head. But, so that was really scary, but Lila Grace is good. She's back on her feet and back on the job and, you know.
My dude's got a new bed. They're Grandpappy, which would be my dad. Since my parents don't have grandchildren, the dogs call my dad Grandpappy. He made them one of those raised beds that's made out of like PVC pipe with the canvas thing. And it's so cute because it's only like 3 inches off the ground. And then they carefully step onto it. But they've been loving on their new bed.
Yeah, especially when you put your big bags of yarn on top of it.
Oh, Gershwin tried the big bag of yarn yesterday. I left one on the floor, and he's like, oh, I got to see what all the fuss is about. And I went in there, and there he was, laying on the bag of yarn.
They're just so cute.
They are awfully cute. They're really smelly right now, though. They're going to have baths.
One of these days, when we're all at the same place at the same time, you'll have to meet Emily from Fibertown. She has a Boston named Alice that she always has on her podcast. And, you know, we should start like a club for, you know, the dogs of podcasters, dogs of knitting podcasts. because, like, Leslie from the Knit Girls, she has Helix that's always jumping on her when she's trying to record, and then Laura, her partner, has a cat named Humberto, who is generally, you know, rubbing his tail over her face while she's trying to record. And, you know, Emily, that used to have another podcast that I watched, she had a little beagle named Whiskey. And there's just, like, it seems like everybody with a podcast has, you know, their weird little dogs that run around and do stuff while they're trying to record. And then, you know, of course,
out here on the... that yarn out of Canada that's dyed to match different types of dog coats?
And no.
And, you know, I can't even think of what it's called. I've seen it before. If you look it up, I'm pretty sure they're out of Canada. But it really does look like their fur.
Oh, well, I'm just picturing my old crazy tortoiseshell cat as a yarn.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would
have,
be...
Yeah, they had yarn like that, and it's really cool.
Like, Blue Merle Australian Shepherd would be really interesting.
And all the proceeds, because that's just one of their lines, I believe, goes towards, like, the Humane Society or the animal shelter.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to totally find this and link it in the show notes.
Okay.
Because that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll do anything to raise money for rescuing and saving critters. Because critters are my life.
Along with the stray peacock that got dropped off at your house. That just cracks me up.
I was the victim of a random drive-by peacocking. It happens. It actually happened to Natasha, too. That's why her yarn company is called Unplanned Peacock. Because somebody dumped a peacock there, too. It happens.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's you should just be glad that nobody's ever dumped a peacock on your lawn. But Freddie is awesome.
Probably not an issue on my half acre in the city.
Somebody asked me one day, like, what we do to take care of him. And, like, if we have to trim his nails and things. And, you know, he's lived here 4 years, and I have still never been able to touch him. He is as wild as the day is long, and I kind of respect him for that. He just does his own thing. And this is just where he chooses to live. You know, I don't think we really own a peacock. I think he just chooses to live here. I mean, he's the coolest bird I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, that's my life. Weird, weird, weird.
So we're weird and we're busy, and we've been yammering at you people for like an hour now about not too much in particular.
Oh.
So we hope to see you at the upcoming shows, Carolina Fiber Festival and Sanford being the next one. That show is on Friday and Saturday only.
Oh yeah, we should make that clear, because that has me worried, because we're changing days. We're at the same location, but I'm worried that people are going to think they're just coming on Sunday and there won't be anybody there.
Yeah, and I have, like, this fear that I'm going to, like, bound out of bed at, like, 5 a.m. on Sunday and, like, start getting dressed and be like, oh yeah, I don't have to go anyplace. Actually, that's not true. Sunday...
I was going to say, hello?
Back that party up. On Sunday, after Carolina Fiber Festival, Amy and I will be at Cottage Yarn in Mint Hill, which is my home yarn shop. They are hosting us for a joint Transient Wool Merchants trunk show.
With pins.
The shop, it's really small. So we're going to be outside.
That is awesome. I can't wait for that. Because spending the weekend with you guys, I'm sure there's going to be hilarity and adult beverages and barbecue, and I think it's just going to be super fun. I'm really excited about it.
Well, and then you can tell everyone how redneck we are, because we've gotten rid of all of our furniture, and somebody's going to be sitting in the camp chair in the living room, so.
Hey, I love my camp chair as long as it doesn't flip me over, because I'm really afraid of that. Oh, the one thing I did want to say is, I have these gorgeous new, gradient balls from Apple Tree Knits, and they're like, I'll put them in my Ravelry stash so you can see exactly what they are. but they're like 800 or 1,000 yards of lace weight. And I was... What?
Random profanity, that's a lot of yardage.
Yeah, which has me kind of freaked out. But I was wondering if maybe some of our listeners had any ideas for a really great pattern that would show off these stunning gradients in an appropriate way. So if you're listening to this, hop over to my Instagram or my stash page on Rav and check out these gorgeous gradients from Apple Tree Knits and give me an idea of what pattern you think I might should make that would accentuate, because I mean they're so gorgeous. I don't want to make something that is not worthy of this yarn. That's kind of where I am. I have to find something that a pattern that is worthy of this yarn.
Well, it's just yarn, so if you change your mind, you can always rip it out and try it.
That's like sacrilege in my world.
You don't rip things out. In case you guys missed the memo, Amy does not rip things out, which makes me a little crazy because I spend most of my time ripping things out going, oh, that wasn't right, I'll just do it again.
Well, yeah. I'm very hard-headed, I'm very stubborn, and I don't like to be wrong, so ripping out is kind of like totally against all of that. That's like admitting I'm wrong. Or failure.
Knitting is the one part of my life where failure is okay because nothing is going to happen if I have to try again.
Oh, well. Anywho, I will be seeing you in just a few days, and then we'll be able to record live together in one room.
With beverage, which always makes us more lively.
With adult beverages and probably 4 yappy little dogs.
And husbands.
Oh, and husbands. Oh, and I think I told you, my son wants to be a guest on the podcast and talk about what he does when we're out of town. Which... Cool. I think he said is pretty much going to be a really short interview because the answer to that question is watch a lot of Netflix.
You know, that answer could have gone many, many ways there, so.
Yeah. Which is better than, you know, parades of women, I suppose, but anywho.
True.
Yeah. So that'll be on an upcoming episode. Will be Drew explaining what he does when we're not home.
Excellent. Well, that was way funnier than it should have been. Let's wrap this up. So we will catch you guys next time, probably when we're actually in the same location for once. So we will talk to you then.
All right. Ciao.